My friends, I want to learn a little bit about Purim today. Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar. And Purim, we know, we've learned. I want to take a look at it on really a deeper perspective. We're going to walk out, hopefully, with just a breath of not only about Purim, about life, and about ourselves. One question for today. Pasuk tells us in source number one, Bachodesh HaRishon uChodesh Nisan, Bishnat Shteim Esrei LeMelech HaChashveiros, Hipil Pur Hu HaGoral Lifnei Haman. Right? They did a lottery in front of Haman. Miyom Liyom, Michodesh HaChodesh, Shteim Esar uChodesh Adar, and it came out on Yod Gimel Adar. Then, later on, in Perek Tet, it says, Ki Haman ben Abdasa Gagi Sarek Kol Yehudim Chashav al Yehudim La'abdam V'hi Pil Pur Hu'a Goral U'mamu La'abdam, and therefore, Al Kain Karu Li'amim Ha'ele Purim Al Shem Ha'pur Al Kain Al Kol Divrei Gered Azot U'maru'u Al Kachu Ma'gi Aleihem. So the Megillah itself tells us the reason why we have Purim. Why we have the name of the holiday Purim is Al Shem HaPur. It's on the lottery that was chosen for this date. Now, the obvious question is, and this is a question Rav Friedlander brings source number three of a lot of Mefarshim, V'im ken agarel rekrat achat shulim in marot hayamim halalu. This is such a small detail in the whole composite of the holiday. If we were to choose a name of the holiday, what would we choose? Yeah, something about victory, Yeshua. The name of a day is the essence of the day. You want to tell me the essence of Purim is about the lottery? I'm telling you the lottery is one small detail in the entire story. And further, if you want to tell me it's about the lottery, then the holiday should be called Pur and not Purim, which is plural, two lotteries, or more than one. Further, we have to understand, twice, both in source number one and in 2b, it translates poor for us. He be a poor, who a garal. This is the garal. And then again, it says, he be a poor, 2a rather, who a garal. Well, you just told me that poor is the garal. Why do we need to have that same sentence twice? So, my friends, there is so much Torah here. So the first I want to do is just a general overview. General overview. And then we're going to take a look at this a little bit deeper from the perspective of Haman, from the perspective of the Jewish people, and the perspective, kivyachol, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, we're ready? Overwhelming response. I'm going to begin anyway. Yeah. The Gra explains. I'm in source number four, if anyone wants to follow. If you don't, that's quite okay, too. The Vilna Gaon explains that the lottery Hashem cast was not, as we may think, a matter of choosing some random date. After all, why would Haman do such a thing? It may be true that I'm only considering things that just happened. But why should that result in Haman's system making the choice of a date dependent on a random lottery? No. Says the Gra, he was working the mazolos, literally the constellation, which represents the flow of spiritual forces, and he was trying to find the most perfect day where the mazel would be weak for the Jewish people. And indeed, in the footnote of the little seven under source number six, that's Hipil Pur Lifnei Haman. He didn't really do the lottery. This was such a complex lottery of finding the correct day. Lifnei Haman, it had to be done in front of him. And this is what he was choosing. He was choosing the day, wasn't just like random. He was choosing the day, the Gra says, which would be the worst mazel for the Jewish people. Now, what's wrong? You're okay? Okay, good. Now, the Gemara tells us there is no mazel for Israel, the end of five. This means that Hashem does not guide the Jewish people through mazalos. He guides them directly. However, this direct supervision is dependent on Jewish people being on a level that makes them deserving of it. Should they not be on that level, then the mazalos will be to our detriment. And indeed, this was the 13th of Adar, where the mazalos should have been the most damaging for the Jewish people. What happened? Source number 8. It was particularly a scary time because what protects us from the mazalos, what protects us is what we have, the 3-day Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to as a sukkah. It's a protection from us. And just like a sukkah, the Beis HaMikdash is like shade from the sun, which is obviously much a deeper understanding of the divine protection from the harmful effects of the mazalos. The sun representing the constellations, representing the mazalos, the Beis HaMikdash, the sukkah, is that aspect of protection. We didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we were very much prone to the negative aspects of the mazalos. What did the Ribono Shel Olam do? Hashem turned the situation around for us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reversed the nature of the mazel and the arrow in 9 for that day permanently. So instead of being the day the poor represented, the day that Haman chose, where the mazalos were most apt to be negative for us, it was not a poor choice. Rather, he would have been right. Had the Ribono Shel Olam not stepped in, it really would have been a disaster. Wow. Now the Ribono Shel Olam stepped in, the poor, which should have been the negative aspect for us, turned around to be the greatest day for us. We know that if you have a judgment with somebody, you do it in the month of Adar. Adar is a positive month. And indeed, not only that, we know in source number 11, we've learned this before, my friends, I want you to hold this for life. This is Rav Biderman Berachayim in his footnote, where he says, Shaha'oros hayardim b'yom ha'kipurim b'eid amiras keter. Keter is the Nusach Sfard of Kedusha. The lights, the energy that comes down on Keter, on Yom Kippur, which is like the highest day of connection to Hashem, mitgalim b'chol sha'os hayamama d'yom ha'purim, is found at every single moment on Purim. That's why, Yesh b'yad kol echa levakesh min ha'melech k'chol asher yachpotz, ask for whatever you want. The poor represents that mazel, which could have been the worst day for us. Poor represents how the mazalos were flipped around. Now it's the greatest day for us, and we need to access this day. That's what Purim reminds us. Live it to the fullest. Ask for whatever you want. Rav Pinkus at 11b, that's all, where he says, When you bench Birkas HaMazon, have in mind that this benching is going to help you with Parnassah for the whole year. Rifa'enu is going to help you with healing for the whole year. He says, Inyan Zamor B'yom HaPurim Kulo, the whole Purim is a day of Tefillah. Ach Sha'at HaRiticha, the boiling point, Kivyochol. Shal Midat HaRachamim is the Shat Kriyat HaMegillah. At the time of reading the Megillah, as niftachim b'yeter oz mayanot ha-chesed el-yonim hashmurim ach v'rak l'shatz ha-sakana. The heavens are open in a way that is unparalleled the entire year to bring down the chesed of Hashem. Therefore, after Megillah reading, don't get lost. Focus. Daven, both at night and during the day, the Megillah. In fact, he brings from the Kava Yasher in Source 10, Rav Biderman, Al Mikra Megillah is the bracha. Mikra means to invite. We're inviting this energy at the time of the Megillah reading. We can tap into it to the fullest. So, my friends, on the most simple level, what is Purim about? Purim is about the Ribono Shel Olam, who is orchestrating that he turned the day that should have been the most difficult day to being the greatest and happiest day. That's easy, yeah?
Yeah.
Great, that's what I thought.
Is that the Nahapo?
Yeah. Now, let's take this a little bit deeper, this first level, and see it from the perspective of Haman. Zifti Chaim, Rav Friedlander, in source number 12, says the following. in the arrow. Lamiso shall dover yesh ladad ketzad lefareshe mashmod inyan hagorel veketzad lejachet selav. How do you look at a gorel? How do you relate to it? If Charlie is stakel, you could look at a lottery. A gorel is a lottery. Bimabat shalamuna. Share a gorel. Mare lana ritzona shemit barach. When I choose a lottery, it means I'm not deciding, but who's going to decide? Ribono shel Olam. Like on Yom Kippur, they had a one goral, one for the Seir, one goral, one to that Seir. Hashem chooses. For the Nachla, the division in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem chooses. Right? That's one way of looking at the goral. Hashem is choosing. The other way of looking at the goral is Hamikra hu sheyachria. Luck. Lots of luck. Haman 13. Asher masar tachrael mitzuah xerael gorel lo sadzal mitochei ato maaminim vakeshlim sor tachlot aritzon Hashem yisbarach. Haman's focus was not about having Hashem decide, but rather Hamikra hu sheyachria. And this helps us explain when Chazal say, Vayaged lo Mordechai kol sher karau. When Mordechai told Hatach to tell Esther everything that was transpiring, the language he uses is, Mordechai said, et kol asher karau, everything that happened. Chazal say, and every word is important. You know what karahu means? He is ben bino shel karahu. He is the descendant of somebody who looks at the world as mikra, as chance. That's Haman. That's our story. That's Amalek. That's what we're dealing with. And if you think about it, in Source 14, you see this so clearly. Achashverosh doesn't sleep at night. Haman, who just built the gallows for Mordechai, happens to be coming to his house in the middle of the night. And Achashverosh happens to ask whatever his name is, Haman, what should I do to the person who the king favors? And Haman answers, drive him to the street. And Achashverosh says, do that to Mordechai. Everything is turning what? Upside down on him. Listen closely. In the arrow in 14, Vayisaper Haman Luzera Shishto L'Cholo Avav. Haman comes home after this event of riding Mordechai through the streets, and he tells his wife and his friends, listen to the language, at Kol Asher Karahu. Everything that happened to happen. Haman doesn't see in anything the divine hand. Everything is by chance. Everything is just happens to be. That's Haman. That's what the poor represents. The poor of Haman is his whole philosophy of et kol asher karahu. Everything just happens to be.
How's Mazalos playing to that then? If really he was searching for that day based on Mazalos, so would that still be...
Yeah. Which day is it going to be? It's going to be in the chance. Not that God is directing it. The Mazalos are also chance. It's not that God is running the show. Yeah? Good. Bashkafat Kafernizu, 18 in the split, in the circle asterisks. Chai Haman, Ben Menoshel Karahu, Kiposeach Hoshay Sipim. He wants his cake and eat it too. On the one hand, he's leaving it up to chance. And on the other hand, he's not ready to see that when things happen to him, they're coming from God. He likes to have allowing things just to be. And if you take a look, we know the entire story of the Megillah, it's all about how things happen to be, which is source number 19. I'm just trying to move a little bit here, which is, you know, that Vashti gets killed and Haman recommends, put in Esther, and then Esther knows about Bigtav and Teresh, and the whole story is the end of 19b, Halimud Shalom Dim Anu Mimoros Elu, Ketzad Menahel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Kol Hishtalshelut Inyanim. How Hashem is running the show. My friends, this is the upshot for today. He peel poor hu hagoral. He peel poor hu hagoral. Hu hagoral is not just, and this is the goral. Read the word hu as a reference to ani hu velo acher. He feel poor. Who ha-goral? Who is the goral? The Ribono Shel Olam. That's what we have to keep in mind. That whatever is transpiring here, it's who ha-goral. He is the one running the show. It's not by accident. On Yom Kippur, we say a piyut. We sing a piyut. Anu amecha va'ata. Anu ata. Anu nachlatenu va'ata goralenu.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Hashem is who ha-goral. When we hear it in the Megillah, this is what we have to think about. He feel poor, who are goral? Hashem is the goral behind Purim. Haman looks at the poor one way, and we understand the poor on a whole different level. Purim. Haman's approach vis-a-vis our approach. Rabbi Berkowitz, six constant mitzvahs. 21, an Emunah-filled outlook on life is not only essential for understanding history, it also enables us to understand events that occur in our lives. Once you realize that the purpose of the world and your purpose as a player in it is to attain perfection, you begin to notice Hashem's hand in your life. You begin to view troublesome events as challenges that will help you grow. You cease to view events in your life as random occurrences. Every event, major or minor, begins to fit into the general purpose of the world. Emunah becomes part of your life. And that's why Rav Chaskol Abramsky, Zatzal, says one of the most important psukim is the last pasuk, when it talks about all of Achashverosh's mighty and powerful acts and the account of the greatness of Mordechai, whom the king promoted, are recorded in the Book of Chronicles. Why? Because the objective of Megillas Esther is not to teach us history. The Megillah was written to teach us to notice divine providence. It strings together a series of seemingly unrelated events that occurred over a period of 9 years. When we read the whole thing, we suddenly realize the Ribono Shel Olam is running the show. The Megillah is not about history, but about destiny. It's part of Tanakh. It teaches us how to examine our lives and try to see how each event fits into Hashem's plan for our personal advancement. Think about the grand events in your life, the person you married, the person you didn't marry, the job you accepted, the one you really wanted to but did not get. Sometimes the grand events are not enough. You have to focus on the small events. I turn the page. Maybe you want to join me in your life. Such introspection can boost your emunah as you begin to make sense of your life and the path that has been paved for you. It might be painful sometimes. There might be questions. There might be events you simply cannot understand. Don't forget, you are in the middle of the story. If we were to stop reading the Megillah somewhere in the middle, we wouldn't be able to make sense of it. Purim is about who ha-goral. Hashem is leading the destiny of our lives, and we have to be ready to hold on to it, access it. Now, my friends, I want to take this one step further on this level. Listen closely. Avi Feiner, 24. He says, you know, we're really not allowed to be happy in this world. So where is Purim? Because Purim is like a taste of the next world. Purim is an extraordinary day. It's a taste, it's a day not from this world, but from the next world. It's a day when we're all given the amazing gift being able to feel the eternal joy of the ultimate redemption. If this is the case, and Purim is so remarkable, because it offers us a glimpse of messianic joy, then that quality of the day should be alluded to in its very name. And he says, I believe it is. Try to work with me here on the board, and if you can't see it, then I'll describe it as well. We know the alphabet. Ready? Here we go. I'm now at the end of the alphabet. We have Mem, Nun, Samech,
Ayin,
Pei,
Tzadik,
Kuf, Reish, Shin Tov. Good. Purim is the Pei and the Reish, leaving out these letters. The letter in between the Pei and the Reish in Purim is the letter Vav. Vav, we know, is a letter of connection. Purim is connecting the middle letters, even though it's not found. What do these two middle letters spell out? Case, which is the final redemption, the end.
The hint is remarkable. On a superficial level, all we see is the poor. The seemingly, I'm answering your question right here, and the double squiggly. The seemingly arbitrary lots that we're given in life, both individually and as a nation. However, when we try to look deeper, we're able to see that which is hidden beneath the poor. We're able to see that there's a case.
an end that all the events in Jewish history are leading toward. A time will be revealed to us that absolutely nothing is arbitrary in this world. There's a positive purpose to whatever Hashem sends our way. We are living history right now as we speak, my friends. We're living in a world where Achenu Kobeit Yisrael, literally, but Sara Ubashivya. We don't understand it. And the pain is enormous. And the ramifications of what's going on are enormous. We look at this world as a poor. We just see the pay and the resh and the vav connecting it. We just see what appears to us as random. Purim is reminding us, be able to see behind the poor, be able to see the letters in between, which are the tzaddik and the kuf, and understand that every single thing that's happening to us is moving us one step closer to the redemption, both individually as well as collectively. Don't stop in the middle of the story. He peel poor, hu hagoral. Hashem's orchestrating. Hashem's running the show. First idea of Purim is the idea, gates are open. He peel poor, hu hagoral. When we're able to celebrate Purim with that clarity that it's Hashem who's running everything, again, in my own life and in the world. Gates are open. Anyone who extends their hand, I call a post-shake yad, no stimlo. But then there's another aspect of Purim, and that's in 26. When the Jews stray from the path of Torah, Hashem steps in to redirect them. Sometimes he accomplishes through positive events, and sometimes through seemingly negative events. Only Hashem knows and understands his reason for choosing either technique. The Purim miracle represented the latter method. The holiday is named after Haman's lottery because a seemingly evil lottery is what stirred the Jews to repentance, which is what in turn brought about their salvation. So why do we call it Purim? Because the poor was the medium to do tshuva. And a major aspect of Purim is tshuva. As we are aware, Yom Kippur and Purim are really two sides of the same coin. Yom Kippur, we eat Erev Yom Kippur and fast on Yom Kippur. On Purim, we fast Erev Purim and we eat on Purim. The fasting on Erev Purim is the Tanis Esther, is that aspect of tshuva to be able to enter into Purim. Now, I want to share with you one aspect of what tshuva is about. There's a lot. Go online. There's a shiur on it. This is very deep. I need you to hold on. Are we ready?
Ready.
Oh, that was much better. Oh, there is hope. There is. We're up to HaChelvan, who is Rav Chaim HaKohen. He was a Mekubal in Givatayim. That's it. Very deep. That was exactly the music we needed. He has a maimer, which I don't want to do. I just want to make mention. We say in our Dror Yikra, we describe Pura is another name for Edom, which is another name for Amalek. Pura. Edom and Amalek.
Edom and Amalek.
Pura. What's in... Thank you. Would you like to take over? You seem like you could. Jeroch Pura B'toch Batsra. And there's very much a connection there with wine and Purim. And he has a whole mimer on it, but I didn't go there today. I went somewhere else. So I want you to go with me. And he says, the fact why I'm mentioning this is that Purim, is all about us doing tshuva. And Amalek's job is for us to do tshuva. Now, when was the first time Amalek came to attack us? We were in a city called Rephidim. Excellent, I'm in 27. Rephidim, Vaisum, Rephidim, Vaivo, Midbar Sinai. Now, why was the place called Rafidim? So we know, Chazal tell us, Sherefu Yedehem, from their hands became weak from the Torah. Now, it's not by accident that Rafu is the same letters as Pur.
Oh, wow. That's.
And we have to talk about why. Did you see how those are the same letters?
Yes.
I just taught this on Shabbos. They followed nothing.
This is, yeah, I'm so happy that we get to read.
You're right.
I'm so happy.
Right. I'm happy, too. I'm happy you're happy. If you're happy, I'm happy. Now, what's going on here? Amalek came to tell us that we have fallen short in our relationship with Hashem. I want to do this paragraph inside, so I need you to really follow with me. It starts with Vitavin Chedavarze. Yeah. It's the second paragraph in 27. This is it. This is it. Vitavin Chedavarze Eino Shuli Klau. Ki Kol Tachlit His Orus Amalek. The whole fact that Amalek comes, he kadesh hayidei hayum habab imenu yeshuv Yisrael. It's order for us to do tshuva. Kizel klal. Shaharasha eino ela shuv biyidei Hashem kadei lachzir et Yisrael lemutav. Our enemy is only a stick in Hashem's hand for us to do tshuva. V'tamid sarich lavchin b'sharash achitzaron. We have to look at what is the problem within us, shebekerav Yisrael, shegaram, that has caused lisorot harisha. What brought the nation to go against us? Don't focus on the nation. It's not about Hamas. It's not about Iran. It's about whom? Us, period. When we work on ourselves, when we've worked on ourselves, the enemy's gone. This is the whole struggle. We can get caught up in the outer alone. We see there's an enemy. Hashem does a miracle. We win. Finish. No. Finito. No. But we haven't gotten to the Omek Hanyan. Ki aloha yev lo kam belisipa. The enemy doesn't come for naught. Vehi mitzad Yisrael shitzrichim tikun. It's about us. Where do we find the tikun in the name Purim? So I want to do a very, hold on, 28. Both Rafu and Pur have the letters Pei Vav in it. The only difference is the resh at the end or is the resh at the beginning. That's the difference. Are you able to see?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Okay. Then I blocked it from these people. I give up. I don't even try to start. What is the resh all about? So every letter in the Jewish alphabet has a lot of Torah to it. Mm-hmm. Kuf and resh happen to be Kar, whole, cold, mikra, happen to be very, very negative letters. The kuf is the hay that got perverted. I'm not going down there today. That's a whole Torah. The resh is the dalet that got messed up. What is this about? So I'm going to do 29, a little bit outside, a little bit inside. So work with me. The difference between a dalet and a resh.
A broken dalet.
We know that if you look at a printed dalet, this is a dalet, and this is a resh. The difference is the little shmajujik on the top, right? This is the difference between, thank you, Hashem Echad and El Acher. Is it one God or many gods, right? That's the whole idea we're not going into today. Of coats for dar tatzmiach lach, thorns and thistles, that's after the Chet of Adam Arishon. Dar Dar is Dalet Reish, Dalet Reish. This is the struggle that we have. And that's why the struggle with Amalek is Midor Dor, written without a Vav. Dalet Reish, Dalet Rav. Reish, is it Hashem Echad or is it El Acher? Good. Now we understood that. Now I can go back to here.
Clarity.
Obviously, the difference between the dal and the resh is just the kutso, the coats, the little smajijic that's called the coats, which is coats for dardar. And it, okay.
Coats is also a thorn.
It is a thorn. It is a thorn. And the coats with the resh adds up to dalet, but we're not getting to there today. I mean, the dalet adds up to resh, but we're not going down that road. Here's what the road we are going down. The letters in the Hebrew alphabet are words. Aleph is aluf, the general. Beis is bayit. Gimel is gimel. Gimel, you hear the letters? Yeah. Gimel. Gimel is to give. Dalet is dal. Dal is someone who is impoverished. Resh is also that. Rash. Both the dalet and the resh are impoverished entities. What's the difference? Was she on that?
No, I just always thought the dalet was a dalet. It was a door.
Ah, very good. Opening. Very good, very good. Right now.
Get it from
Zebedee. Good, 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 good. Right now, right now. That's the difference. What is the difference between dalet and the resh? The dalet has a delet also. The delet means an opening where the dalet is ready to receive. That's why the Chazal, the Gemara Shabbat, speaks about gimel dalet, gimel dalim. The gimel gives to the dalet is embarrassed, so it faces away from the gimel, but the dalet is ready to receive. And this is the idea where he says, Hashem is chonein dalim. I'm at the end of 29. Hashem grants gifts to the dal. However, vilarash inko. But the resh, doesn't want to receive anything. What's the difference between the resh and the dalet? Is very simple. The dalet is poor, but it's a delet. It has an opening on the top ready to receive. The resh says what? No. I can handle everything by myself. Why a resh is such a dangerous letter is a resh has what Amalek stands for. Asher lo yarei Elokim. I don't need God. I can handle everything by myself. Now, let's take this a little bit further. It is not by accident that the month that we are in is called Adar, which is Aleph, Aluf El Shalom, then the Dalet, then the Resh. Where we're able to understand that we need to have a focus when we look at Olam Hazeh as first the Aleph, then the Dalet, and then the Resh. It's also not by accident when the Klal Yisrael received the Torah once again, the language that's used in Chazal is Hador v'kibluha. They return to get it again. Again, the Hey and the Vav are letters of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Dalet before the Resh, that we have to understand. Resh represents this world, but you have to put the what? The Dalet beforehand. Now, where's the Pei Vav come in? So this is what he says in 31, that Pei Vav stands for, I think at 31, I don't even know where I am anymore. The Pei Vav stands for Elohim. Pei Vav in Gematria is 86. Pei is 80, Vav is 6. 86 is the Gematria of Elohim, of God. This is
the word Elohim?
Yeah, this is the difference. When Raful Yadehem, they put Hashem last. Poor, we put Hashem first. Who Hagoral? Hashem. Who? He is the one who's running the show in our world. That's why, let's just summarize this in 32. The second paragraph, he named King, Kishishav Yisrael, Eseka Torah, when Klai Yisrael did Shora. I'm in 32, second paragraph. Higbiru levavam lakir lakuto yiparach b'metzios. They were able to find Hashem in reality. V'lo yeruot ha'olam b'mik k'mikra. They didn't look at the world as a chance. So reish, in the aspect of the reish. El ra'u et or Hashem b'mitzios. Right, when, what does it mean, Chirafu Yadayim? Right before Amalek came, they said, Hayesh Hashem b'kibenu m'ayin. Is Hashem here or not? That's, we don't know if God's here. What does Purim do? Peivav puts Hashem first. B'sod Shem Elokim v'lachem ba'atikum b'sod pur shu peivav sod Shem Elokim lifnei reish shu olam hazeh v'hu remez lachna'at haman v'avein sodo. And he goes on to say that it's called Purim, plural, because very often when you're living in this world, you can't see Hashem in the here and now. You have to be able to see Hashem over what? An expanse of time. And, and we all know this. The end of 35, ki madam yabira yom echad, if you just look at one day, you're just going to see a lot of problems. Achim yabira chaya v'retzef u'ba'amkos. You're going to be able to see things through an expansive amount of time. You'll be able to see how everything brings itself to bracha. You know, there's a famous story, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but I'm just going to share with you, even though I know you're familiar with this. The story of Operation Solomon, bringing the Ethiopian Jewry to Israel. I don't know, how many years ago was it?
40 years ago.
Yeah, Colin Powers. You all know the story?
No.
It's amazing.
No, what is it? I saw the movie.
I'm just going to tell it on a very fast track. They went to Ethiopia to try to get these 17,000 Jews. And they gave a very high price. They went down in the price, and then they said they're ready to do it with the condition that George Bush would sign, recognizing that they were the in charge of Ethiopia. And that was like almost impossible. They went to the president, and they had a cabinet meeting, and it was a split vote, and there was needed one vote to decide yes or no. And it was Colin Powell's, who was a split vote, who described that when he was a boy growing up, there was a fire in his house, and he and his siblings were in the house, and there was no way to get them out. And an Ethiopian Jew went in with a wet blanket, took them out, and saved them. And he, they said, well, how can we repay you? I'm an Ethiopian Jew. I don't. There's no amount of money you can give me for a mitzvah. He says, now, I was that little boy at that time. All these years later, I'm now able to repay.
Wow. I didn't know this.
My friend, that's Purim. Hashem is running the world. Everything that happens is happening at the right time for the right reason. When something occurs in our life, our response has to be poor. Put Hashem before everything else. Yes, you may go to experts on A, B, and C, but make sure the Ribono Shel Olam, the Pei Vav, is first. You know, we're going to sing again, Achenu, and then we're going to do the last level. I want to share with you one vort. Just have in mind when we're singing this, each time a little bit deeper, Hamakom Yirachim. So the question is, why do we use that name of Hashem, Hamakom? We use it by Nichum Avelim. Get my new book, Emirat Hashem. You will see it in the chapter of Avelus, but it is nowhere near being ready. So when it is, you'll keep an eye out for it. Why is Hamakom used? So when we talk about Hamakom, we talk about Hashem creates space. So we take a look at this world and we ask, where is Hashem in this world? So the famous Kutzkervort is, wherever you let him in. My daughter, who's a Ganenet, the answer would be, it's Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere.
Have you seen that? I know that one.
But there's a much deeper answer. Where is Hashem in this world? The answer is, he isn't.
Oh, wow.
You know why?
The world's in Hashem.
That's it. The world is in Hashem. And that's Pei Vav Resh. See, Hashem is Ein Od Mevado. There is nothing else. And we know, we've talked about this before, the famous Vort, and I want us to keep this in mind, really, of the Panovich HaRav Ain't sur kelokenu, ain't sayar kelokenu. There's no artisan like Hashem. A good artist is somebody who, like a bird, will want to eat off of it. Or you want to put your cup on the shelf and there is no cup. There is a cup. There's no shelf. That's a great artist. Hashem is such a great artist that we actually think there's a world.
Wow.
Everything's an illusion.
What was the plural? What was the answer for that?
The plural? Yeah. You have to see God over the time. Hamakom. Hashem is holding the world. You don't have to worry. Chani, we have one final level, my friends. Let's take a look. Hu agoral. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the goral. The Ribbono Shel Olam is running the show. We have to recognize that there's no mikra. We have to recognize the pei vav before the resh. We have to be adar. The Alufel Shel Olam with her hand open up to be able to receive from Hashem. That's the whole idea of Purim. The idea of Purim is opening your hand. The idea of Purim is davening. The idea of Purim is recognizing where everything comes from. The Ein Od Melvado aspect. Right? The world is a mask. It's hiding Hashem. Where do I see all that? Am I going back? I am not going back. Michelle, we'll give you a rundown.
No, I'm saying, okay, I got it. But.
One second, I'm saying that you just gave $1 billion in a quarter. You just said Hashem is such a good artist that we think there's a world.
Uh-huh.
That's so what?
It is, but I'm not on time to go through that. So I'm moving on. 37. The Zohar tells us that Yom Kippur, this is Rav Olson Zatzal, is also called because it's Yom Kippurim and Daleg Purim. Both of them have a pur. Lots play a crucial role in Yom Kippur as well with the goats. What's the nature of a lottery? Nature of the lottery is no one can explain it. The lottery is above our understanding. The Olam HaGoral, the world of lots, is another term for the world of Keser, the world which is above the head, the seat of understanding. The world of Keser is also referred to as Olam HaRatzon, the world of Hashem's will. Why does Hashem so love and desire his people? Why does he forgive our sins in Yom Kippur? Why does he save us on Purim? It's as mysterious as a lottery. We simply cannot fathom Hashem's will. The Chida, the Rav Azulai, 39. These are very deep ideas, my friends, if you haven't caught that yet. He speaks about that Chevel hu lashon chelek v'gorel. We are Hashem's goral. Hu ha-goral, on the first levels, is Ribbono Shel Olam. Hu ha-goral, who is the chosen Klal Yisrael. Because we are the Goral, the chosen nation, the Chevel Nachlato, Hashem will save us at all times. But we don't call the holiday Goral, we call it Purim. Why? We're hiding. Because if everyone would know that Hashem loves us no matter what, then we would feel free to do whatever we want. You know what Purim is about? It's about one word. It's about love. What I describe to my students is like millions of Hershey kisses coming down from heaven.
Oh my God, and not gaining weight.
I didn't say that. We'll weigh in on that one. Rav Pinkus Zatzal in source number 41 and 42 speaks about. And I'm not getting into the whole idea of drinking. I'm not. I'm mentioning it, but I'm stepping out of it. What is the idea of drinking on Purim? On every other holiday, we take initiative. We take we're inactive. Purim, Hashem says, you know what? It's not about you. I want you to step aside. Leave it to me. And that's the idea of Ad Lo Yada. I don't want you to have das. I don't want you involved in this. You guys deserve to be destroyed. I am stepping in and what? I'm saving you. For one reason, Hu Agoral. You are my nation. You are the chosen one. You are the Hevel Nachlaso. You are my inheritance. And because of that, whatever situation you're in, I'm there, whether you're deserving or not. Obviously, we had to wake up and do some level of tshuva, right? That was incumbent upon us. Once we've taken a little bit of the initiative, Ribbono Shalom says, I'm here. If we understand that this is the whole idea of love in 43, so now I understand the mitzvot of the day. Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. One man l're'ehu, v'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. It's about love. You give to another, you give with love. I always say you should give, write a note when you give. You know, make it personal. Allow the love to overflow. What you appreciate about the person, what they've done for you. Allow it to become a more of a personal type of ish l're'ehu. And it's not called stucca la'aniyim, Rav Pinkus says in 43. It's matanos lev yonim. A matana is a gift. You give gifts to those who you love. Purim is really saying to us, Hashem saying, I love you. Hu ha-goral. You are my goral. You are the ones that I have chosen. And because of that, I've saved you in the past. I'll save you in the future. I'll continue to save you. And what I want from you is to take that love and share it. Share it with everyone else. Create that friendship. Create that unity. Because when we have that achdus, when we have that unity, that we know is the secret of redemption. And this is why, in our final time, and hopefully it's going to be impactful, honey, get ready, we sing Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. It's Achenu. We're all connected to each other. Are there any questions on anything we said aside from the major questions that we have? You want me to do the last part? Even Gzeros, Nesiva Shalom, Solomon Arevi, even Gzeros, decrees that were decreed, Nechtam B'Tabat HaMelech, you have the ability to change on Purim. And part of this is when a Jew is happy with whatever Hashem does and recognizes that Hashem, I know, Purim, Hey Vav Reish, you're in charge of this world. Ein Od Mavado. Azay Mida Kenegin Mida, measure for measure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept us where we are at and who we are. And this is the one day a year that even if the decree was signed and sealed with Tabat HaMelech, we have the ability to change decrees on Purim. It's a day where the gates are open. After the Megillah reading is a gevaldik time to daven, and we know in the Suda, when the Melech turns to Esther, Mashe Latech V'inatein Lach, HaMelech, Kol Shel Olam turns to the Hester, the Neshama and Es, and that's what we want. Erev Shabbos is here, is a challenging time. Prepare beforehand. Know what to daven for. Give the energy that you need. And our tefillah should be entered L'Tovah.
Amen. Amen.